Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Around the Corner podcast, a delightful podcast covering the Cleveland Guardians minor league system. I'm co-host Matt Schlichting, joined as always by Brian Heminger. Brian, hello.
Hello. It's a good day for baseball.
It is. We have a little bit of a shakeup in our top 10, as there are some graduates once again from the MLB Pipeline site. So we have purged them from the list so we can bring on some new fellows who are still considered prospects.
Yeah. So first off, so long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, good night to Tanner Bibee and Logan Allen. Wow. Did not expect them to be no longer rookie MLB pipeline eligible before we even reached the All-Star break.
It's been a pretty quick ascent for them, and I'm excited.
I'm super excited. Like, good for them. I know that they're going through a little bit of a struggles. Like, Tanner had a rough one yesterday, but just the fact that they've been at that major league level, putting their names in contention for rookie of the year, they've been wonderful. They've helped stabilize our rotation.
I can't remember being this excited about two pitchers coming up pretty much at the same time ever. And that's very cool.
And we've got more coming.
We'll get to talk about some of them here. Very soon, we'll kick off the top 10. Daniel Espino at number one, of course, shoulder surgery. We may not see him for some time, alas.
Yeah, no new crazy updates. I mean, if he pitches next year, we'll be lucky.
Well, moving right along then, what can you tell us about Mr. Gavin Williams?
All right, well, Gavin Williams continues to pitch at the AAA level. He had two starts, went a total of 9 innings pitched, struck out 14, walked 5, did get hit a little bit, gave up 5 earned runs in that stretch. So ERA was 5. But, you know, 14 strikeouts in 9 innings, I'm not going to complain. Did give up a home run, walked a few guys as well. So had a little bit of issues with his command, but I mean, you're going to have a little bit of growing pains every once in a while with somebody like Gavin Williams. And he's just so talented that I still think at some point he's getting called up. It just really, at this point, we don't need him, which is great. You know, if we have an injury or something, I would rather have call up Gavin than, you know, the next, you know, filler guy.
Yeah, his stuff is major league ready.
Yeah. It's, I mean, he's consistently throwing in the, you know, 98, 99 range with his fastball. And that's awesome.
And the numbers don't sparkle, but in each of his two starts, the one he pitched 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. And the other one, he went 5 innings, 2 earned runs, which is great. Did have 4 walks, but struck out 9. So whatever. That works.
Exactly. And I think he pitched today and didn't pitch that bad. So we'll be talking about that performance next week as well. So moving on. We actually have an update, as promised, on George Valera.
George Valera returns. He is on an injury rehab stint. Took me a second to remember that phrase. I don't know why. So he's down in rookie ball right now. He slashed .313, .429, .688. That sounds about right for him playing a couple levels down. WRC plus of 160. Most important thing to me is that he's back. He's taking good cuts. I don't want to read too much into the numbers overall because he is playing.
I will say there are a couple things that I will read into the numbers because he's recovering from a hamstring.
Fair enough.
So the fact that he stole 2 bases, that's great, and blasted a home run. So, and legged out a couple, 3 doubles. So I'm very excited. I can't wait. He should be back in Columbus in a matter of days.
We have been a fan of George Valera for some time on this podcast, and I may have declared in the Discord at one point that this would be the summer of George, so we will see if it's just a little bit delayed. Although technically it's not summer for as of the time of recording, another 6 days, so maybe he's right on time.
Exactly.
You know, we have another friend who had one game, at least one game, up at the major league level that sort of divided his numbers a little bit this last 2 weeks. But number 4 on the countdown, Brian Rocchio.
Yeah, Mr. Rocchio not his hottest stretch went over the past 2 weeks. He played 8 games at the minor league level, slashing 167, 297, 267. On the bright side, he walked 5 times, 8 games, so is getting on base, stole a couple bases, but yeah, just not hitting consistently. Looks like BABIP related, though, of 200. So I'm not going to blame him when he's getting unlucky hitting the ball. It's not like he's striking out at a ridiculous rate. His strikeout percentage is 16, which is perfectly acceptable. Walk 13.5, which is elite. And he did hit a couple extra base hits with a triple and a double. So nothing to be worried about whatsoever.
Anytime you see a guy drawing his walks when he has a down week, it's a lot less concerning than a week where he's just lost.
Yeah, walks are slump-proof, in my opinion. So, like, when you have a player that's patient at the plate, even if they're not hitting the ball, as long as they're getting on base and they're helping the team. So, moving on, there's a player that we're going to be talking about next that people are starting to get a little excited and clamoring for.
At number 5, we have Bo Naylor. He also, I believe, had 1 game up, may or may not have played. But in his time in Columbus, he went ahead and slashed 243, 391, 622. That's a WRC plus of 145. Now, his BABIP was 200, but he smashed 4 home runs, and those don't count at all towards balls in play because they're
yep.
not.
Yep. They are out of the park, out of the playing field.
Yeah, 11 runs, 12 RBIs, 8 walks, leaned into 1 to get on base as well, also added 2 doubles. There's just not much to do except be excited and patiently wonder if and when he's going to assume his role as the everyday starting catcher at the major league level.
He also was throwing out some base runners. So I saw him gun down somebody trying to steal 3rd.
Ooh. So he is working on his defense.
Yeah.
There you go, front office.
He has nothing left to prove. Literally, there's no reason that he should still be at AAA at this point. With how terrible Mike Zunino has been, basically since the first week of the season, it just makes no sense. Like, they are wasting Bo Naylor's talents by leaving him at AAA. He would currently be leading Cleveland in home runs and on base percentage. Like, I know that that's not going to translate directly because he's been called up briefly and has not got a hit yet. His strikeout rate is pretty high, but you got to give him a chance. Like, at this point, like, we know what we're getting at this point with Mike Zunino. It is one of the worst defensive catchers in the league in terms of throwing out base runners, in terms of our starting rotation is ERA is 2 runs higher when Zunino is calling a game compared to when Cam Gallagher is calling a game.
That's kind of inexcusable. Oh, well.
And he's striking out at like 50%. Like, there are no pluses to keeping him here other than the fact that we have a sunk cost investment of $6 million. You just got to eat that money and call up Bo. Like, if you're worried about, you know, playing Bo every day, then play him 50-50 with Cam Gallagher, because Cam is still at least calling good games and throwing out runners a little bit better. So, you know, if you want to ease Bo in, do it that way. But
and he, someone
we should
posted,
not be playing Mike Zunino at this point.
Someone posted a stat to the Discord. Cam Gallagher is one of the league leaders in blocks above average,
yeah,
according to StatCast.
Like, if you look at the stat, you know, those StatCast graphs that show like every single type of like exit velocity and hard hit percentage and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mike Zunino's is like the bottom 1% in like 8 of the 10 categories in terms of like contact rate and hard hit. The only thing that he was above like 1% was the fact that he has been drawing some walks. And when he does hit the ball, his exit velocity can be high. But everything else was just the bluest of the blue, like glacier cold. And that doesn't even account for the fact that he is the worst at blocking pitches in the dirt in baseball.
Like, for
a team that values defense, I was like, okay, I'll accept that Mike Zunino isn't as good as like Austin Hedges was defensively, as long as he's hitting the ball, and he's not hitting the ball.
And it's not that so I dislike Mike Zunino. It just feels like the injury combined with time and the change of scenery, it might just not be working. And it's time.
You're getting all the downsides of having a worse defensive catcher and none of the upsides of having him hit. It's all down. You got to just cut bait at some point.
Brian. Yeah. Soon.
It is time for Bo. We have now passed the Super 2 deadline. There is literally no reason not to call up Bo Naylor. If they want that extra year of control, they got it.
Well, call him up.
There's literally a video of Bo Naylor crushing a home run against, I think, the Iowa AAA team. And the Iowa announcers are like, will someone please call him up to Columbus so we don't have to face him anymore?
It's not fair.
They literally were begging him to be called up to Cleveland.
So
the opposing teams than our front office.
My guess is that we're not going to see him until June 20th.
I don't know
that they would call him up and bring him out on the West Coast. I think it's more likely they'd want to start him in
Cleveland. I get that, but still.
And he gets to face the Athletics, which could be a very good time. Although they've won 8 straight, so
yeah.
Baseball.
Yep, hottest team in baseball.
Go figure. Can you tell us some interesting news about one Angel Martinez?
Yeah, Angel Martinez, rock solid, slashing 289, 347, 356. For a WRC plus of 95. BABIP was 361 for the past 2 weeks. Strikeout rate 18%, walk rate 8.2%. Scored 11 runs, knocked in 9 in 10 games played, stole a base. Just overall rock solid. I mean, the only thing that he was really missing over the past 2 weeks is, big power. He had 13 hits, 3 doubles, 10 singles. But everything else just screams that he is playing perfectly fine as one of the younger players at the AA level. So keep it up, Angel Martinez.
No, I have nothing to add. I'm hoping I can catch a game in Akron here relatively soon. So I'd like to see him play again.
Well, moving on, we've got finally some super good news. So please share it.
Chase DeLauder is playing baseball. He is on a rehab assignment at the rookie level as well. I believe he's technically assigned to Lynchburg. Is that right?
I haven't heard where he's actually assigned, but he is doing his rehab assignment in the Arizona Complex League. I would assume he's going to technically be assigned to Lake County just because he was our first round pick.
And a college back.
And he's a top 100 overall player in MLB pipeline. So why would they start him at the bottom level of full season when they've already started it, when they've got a couple guys that we drafted already at Lake County level? So,
and Lake County being the high A affiliate now.
Yes.
So DeLauder slashed 133, 364, 133 at the rookie level. That's a WRC plus of 66. Now, his batting average on balls in play was 154.
Yes. And super unlucky.
Exactly.
And looking at his, stats, I'm actually not worried whatsoever. I mean, 5 walks compared to just 3 strikeouts. It's basically just he's hitting the ball. He's hitting it at people.
I kind of appreciate when a guy scuffles like this, but keeps his walk rate up because it means he's not changing anything. He's just accepting, like you said, not hitting them where they aren't right now.
And another positive sign for somebody that's recovering from, foot surgery, stolen base.
Yes.
So he's not afraid. He's not afraid to test those wheels. And that's the thing you're worried about. I'm excited. I know, batting 133 in your first. And again, it is a super small sample size of 5 games. He should be activated. Probably we'll be talking about how he makes his full season debut at some point later this, probably at our next podcast in 2 weeks.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, next up. We have been pronouncing this young man's name as Joey Cantillo, but
have we been doing it wrong?
So there was some discussion earlier today. I guess Matt Underwood pronounced it Cantillo.
Really?
And he's from Hawaii, so I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a Spanish-style pronunciation, but we'll see. I just I don't know, we're reading baseball names and you see something that looks like Cantillo and it comes off the lips as Cantillo. I don't know. Maybe we should try harder with names again.
Well, we have reached out in the past to players and asked them how their name should be pronounced.
It's true. Thank you, Aaron Civale.
Yeah.
How did he do the last 2 weeks?
Cantillo made three starts. And over that time period, he pitched 15 and two-thirds innings with 19 strikeouts. That's good for a strikeout percentage of 29.7, averaging 10.9 per nine innings. On the downside, he did walk eight batters, so walk rate definitely is up there. ERA was 4.6 with an FIP of 4.34. Gave up a pair of home runs, but you also have to remember, he's at AAA now. So he started the season at AA, but just like Gavin Williams, got promoted to AAA. He is part of that Columbus rotation. He's on the 40-man roster. He is one step closer to appearing in Cleveland. And from what I'm hearing, fastball velocity sitting around 97 miles an hour as a left-handed filth.
Bacon.
So just imagine, you know, Logan Allen with a little bit less control throwing 4 miles an hour harder.
Yeah, I'm a little, he had four wild pitches as well, which is, but I'm looking at the game log again, having compiled all the stats earlier, and none of these were necessarily blow up games or anything. He went four innings, five innings, and then six and two thirds, and basically pitched a little bit better each time. The latest game on the 13th
was sensational.
Yeah, he looked great.
Eight strikeouts, six and two thirds innings, and two runs allowed. And one of those runs was an inherited runner that got allowed to score. So that was when he got pulled. So the fact that he went into the seventh inning with just one run allowed, and then the bullpen guy gave up a run after he got yanked, huge. So, I mean, the main thing we're looking for here with Cantillo is consistency. Like, we know his highs are just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go back, I mean, he had a game with five innings, 13 strikeouts earlier this season. But he also, if you look at his season stats, he has now had nine games started, and the fewest walks he's had in a start is two.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing, you know, control. And that's pretty important if you're going to be, you know, a good major league pitcher. On the bright side, most of his starts, it's two walks. I mean, he doesn't go more than two often. He's only done that like three or four times. So so at least he's consistently wild in the fact that it's about two walks a start. But I would love to see him, you know, stay around the zone a little bit more. And because, you know, you get to that major league level, they're going to be taking even more pitches that are close.
Yes.
So that walk rate's only going to go higher when you face the even more professional hitters. Brightside, still 23 years old, too.
Yes. And one other thing I want to keep an eye on with him is the stretching out. And his first few starts at AA this season was three innings, four innings, four and a third. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's about what he would usually do. So it's encouraging to see him go almost seven.
He hadn't even gone six all season.
Right.
He had not even pitched after the fifth inning all season. So the fact that in his last start at AAA was into the seventh is huge. So big strides for Joey Cantillo. Like, I am a huge fan of him. I think after Gavin Williams and Espino, obviously, he's our next best pitching prospect. So, and he's somebody worth getting excited about. Like, he's more elite depth. Like, and on this season, his ERA is still 3.23.
That's very good.
Across two levels with 62 strikeouts in 47 innings as a starter. I mean, that's nasty.
Well, now we're into, as we mentioned, two players promoted from the top 10. That means we've got two new guys to discuss at 9 and 10. It's mm-hmm. very exciting.
So, you know, people, if you've been following social media, have been whining about, you know, the fact that Nolan Jones has been hitting a lot of home runs for the Rockies,
which is
going to which was going to happen. I mean, the dude had power, and now he's playing in Colorado.
Yeah.
He was going to hit home runs, okay?
It's a great match for his skill set, honestly.
It was a good trade. Like, I know people are like, oh, he could have been doing that in Cleveland right now. You know what? Will Brennan's doing great right now, so lay off. But what we got for Nolan Jones was Juan Brito. So tell us a little bit about our new number 9 prospect in the around the corner top 10 Cleveland Guardians prospect countdown.
So, to confirm, is he at double A right now?
Yes, Juan Brito was promoted to double A. So he started the season at high A Lake County, and he has been playing at double A for over a week now.
So these numbers.
Yeah, that's what's even better.
Yeah, 372, 481, 488. Hello. That's a WRC plus of 171. BABIP's up in the stratosphere at 455. But as we mentioned before, when you're smoking everything they throw at you, that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah, yeah. He got promoted to AA right before our last podcast. So May 27th. So all of these numbers are at AA. And that's also what's crazy is WRC plus is based on how you're performing at compared to everyone else at your level. So this is since being promoted, and now he's being compared to everyone at that level, not the people from his previous level. Like his WRC plus, if he had these numbers right here at Lake County, they'd probably hit, it'd be like in the 200s probably. But now he's being compared to guys that are a whole year and a half older on
average.
Yeah,
he's just smashing it. And this is his age 21 season, which very exciting that he's that young still. On the last couple of weeks, he had 13 singles, 2 doubles, hit a home run, scored 6 times, drove in 6, 9 walks, 9 strikeouts. So his strikeout and walk percentages both sat at 17.3, which are, sure, that's good. I like it. Keep it up, Juan Brito.
Yeah, I mean, I am a huge fan of this guy. He might be one of our best hitting prospects in all of our minor league system. And I'm not, like, you know, exaggerating here. He is sensational. Because you remember, spring training, he led all of spring training for the first, like, 3 weeks in walks out of every player in spring training at the major league level.
I do love patience in a hitter.
So, like, he had an advanced eye at the plate already, and the fact that he's hitting two, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So for all those people worried about the Nolan Jones trade, just remember Juan Brito, okay? Like, I know we've got a lot of depth in the middle infield in terms of prospects with Rocchio and Arias and Freeman and Angel Martinez and Jose Tena. Juan Brito might be, you know, the next big thing.
I think I'm even more excited about the next guy on the list. And maybe it's a surprise. Maybe, I don't know, go ahead and give us the news, Brian. This also coincides with number one on the top 5 of the week. So not only are we finishing the top 10, but this is a smooth segue into the next segment.
Yeah, so our number 10 prospect that we, Matt and I, have decided is Welbin Francisca. Now, for those of you that are not aware of who he is, Welbin Francisca was signed as part of Cleveland's 2023 International Free Agent class. He was our top signing, ranked 24 overall in that class. What would you guess would be his signing bonus?
$2.4 million.
Wasn't that much. Now I'm sounding dumb. almost $1.4 million.
Okay.
But that was as a 16-year-old, so they believed in him. He literally just turned 17 like 3 or 4 days ago, and the Dominican Summer League started. So as a just barely turned 17-year-old, he debuted in the Dominican Summer League at the beginning of June. And in 6 games, he has put up some of the most ridiculous numbers I have ever seen by a player. And I am not, you know, exaggerating again here. So in his 6 games, and again, 6 games, he has 14 hits. Of those 14 hits, 7, half of them were for extra bases in 6 games. So he is averaging more than 1 extra base hit per game, slashing 483, 539, 966.
And 966 is his slugging, not his
That's
OPS.
That's slugging, not OPS. Yes. OPS is like 14, 1500. So BAPIP 500, WRC plus 257. I haven't seen a number like that since the week Will Benson hit four home runs in a game.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if we've, maybe there's been a couple of guys who have touched 200, but I can't recall. And he just went ahead and threatened, dare I say, to have a WRC plus that starts with a three.
Yeah. And in those six games, 14 hits, seven singles, two doubles, three triples, two home runs. He scored 12 runs in six games.
I think he
and
might
And he's
be ready
also
to move
walking
up.
More than he struck out. Four walks compared to three strikeouts. He got hit by a pitch, stole a couple bases. Like, this dude is absolutely insane.
We can understand why Jose Ramirez was excited.
Yeah. Have you seen the photo of him next to, like, Jose Ramirez, by
yes.
the way? Okay, so you know what he looks like. He is jacked.
He looks like a grown man. And
that photo was probably taken at 16 years old. So, yeah, this kid is, I think he's going to be the next big thing. I'm not joking. He should be in Arizona right now, like already. Like, I've seen enough. and I think within a year, he might be our number one prospect.
Interesting.
Just with the fact that I think Gavin Williams will graduate. There's going to be like a little bit of a vacancy. We've got a lot of guys at that upper AAA level right now at the top of our top 10. So I think he's just going to explode through our
ranks. He just turned 17, right?
Yeah. Like he is like 17 years and like 4 or 5 days old.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah. So for those of you that were like, oh man, you know, when's Cleveland's next wave of talent coming? This guy. This is the guy. This guy is absolutely nuts. Welbin Francisco. Remember the name, folks. Remember that name. He is, I think, going to be super special. And he's an outfielder, I believe. Or no, is he an outfielder?
Well, in Cleveland's system, they might decide he is one day.
What position does he play? Shortstop. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, there is, we've talked about it a little bit. If you go after guys who are mostly shortstops, they are the players that are the most likely to be able to adjust to another position down the road.
The thing that's blowing my mind too is he's doing this at 5'8", 148 pounds. He's a switch hitter too. So, like, literally,
where do we find these guys?
Literally, he's Jose Ramirez size,
and he appears to possibly even have more power. So, we'll keep an eye on him. Maybe the hype will just continue to grow from here.
I do believe in the hype with this guy. Like, it's legit.
We've got another.
Call him up, folks. Call him up to Arizona.
We've got another fantastic performance. Next on the list, a player by the name of Rafael Ramirez.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Mr. Rafael. What stood out for him in his Arizona Complex League debut?
In six games, he had six hits, five of which were singles, one of which was a double. He also had 10 walks in those six games. Just 571 on base percentage. I'm not even going to read
That's
his
pretty good.
Other slash line numbers. He had a 571 on base percentage. That's nuts.
Literally 57% of the time that he came up to the plate, he reached a base. That's awesome. How many walks did he have in six games?
10. He's walking twice per game. And five strikeouts, no big deal. Gonna have to keep an eye on this. I do get excited when there's a guy who just gets on base.
Mm-hmm. And looking at Ramirez overall, he is another shortstop prospect.
What? No. How?
Stunning. And he did play in the Dominican Summer League last year, where he was above average for the whole season. Had a WRC plus as a 16-year-old in the Dominican Summer League of 104. So he's 17 this year, made his United States debut. And in that first week, 10 walks in his first six games.
So 17 and playing in the Complex League? Good Lord.
Now he is 17 and 10 months. So he's got 10 months on Mr. Francisca.
Still. But
yeah.
That's very young
that is
for
super
playing
young.
Out there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely somebody worth keeping an eye on as another young, up-and-coming middle infield prospect. A little bit bigger, too. He's at 6 feet tall. So,
no, I genuinely have no idea how to pronounce the next man's name, but I'm going to give it a shot.
All right, let's hear it. Remember, it's he is, you know, Latino. So
how you pronounce that first,
how you pronounce that first letter is important.
Hoagley Garcia?
That's pretty close. I would say it's either Hoagley or Hoagley.
Okay. So,
yeah.
It looks.
Yeah. J-O-G-L-Y Garcia. So the Arizona Complex League began. And I'm not going to lie. Cleveland's pitching at that level did not start up, get off to a good start. Okay. I need to pull up these stats because they're hilarious.
I'm looking forward to this.
So
a little bit of minor league nonsense here.
Yeah. It's the season started with June 5th. That game, the Guardians Arizona Complex League team gave up 14 runs.
Oh.
Then they played the next day, gave up 23 runs.
Wait. In the game?
Yeah, they lost 23-3.
This is like when you just forget to put enough guys on the roster in OOTP.
What was really funny in that game was they gave up 23 runs on 13 hits.
How many walks?
18.
Well, there might be some things to figure out.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Cleveland, when they draft, they almost exclusively are drafting college pitchers and then, you know, potentially some college bats. Like, they've been focusing a lot on college. And so if you're in the Arizona Complex League, it's because you're coming up from the DSL. And we do not draft many pitchers that debut in the Arizona Complex League. They're mostly debuting in full season. So if you're in the Arizona Complex League, you're somebody that made it out of the DSL. Like, and we don't have many pitching prospects. Almost all of our international signings are position players. Like, that's what we focus on. We focus on college pitchers a lot of time and international position players. So we are not, for the most part, having very good international pitchers. Like, I can't even remember.
Who throws the next day when you give up 37 runs in two games?
Yeah. Let's see here. The next game, they had a day off.
Hey, good.
Then they lost 20. Oh, no, that was the DSL team. They lost 20-11.
Put up some runs, though.
Yeah.
I like to see it.
And then they lost 4-2. And this was where Mr. Garcia makes his debut. So you would think with all of those, with giving up, like, you know, 40 runs in the first three games or something ridiculous like that, that Cleveland would not get the pitcher of the week in the Arizona Complex League Award.
And yet.
Yet, Yogli Garcia goes and in his debut for the season as a, let me double check here, 19-year-old pitcher, he went 5 innings, shutout ball, no walks, 6 strikeouts, 2 hits.
Very good.
And earns pitcher of the week for the Arizona Complex League. And for those interested, this is his second year of professional baseball. Last year, he pitched in the Dominican Summer League, where he had a 3.51 ERA. Struck out, let's see, 28 batters in 33 innings pitched last year. So might be worth somebody keeping an eye on the fact that, you know, he had such a strong start to debut. Could be a fluke, could not be. We'll find out a little bit more about him as he continues to pitch.
It is exciting to have him in the top five, nonetheless.
Yeah, I just thought it was hilarious that they give up 40 runs in the first three games, and then they have the pitcher of the week.
We'll also have to keep an eye on that team's pitching performance, because goodness gracious. I know that weird things happen down there, but that's nuts.
It's similar in the DSL. Like, the first game, we had an inter-squad game between because we have two Dominican Summer League teams. So they faced each other, and It's the Guardians Red versus Guardians Blue. Guardians Blue, which had, well, Ben Francisco on it, won the first game 28-5.
Huh.
Then the Guardians Blue lost 11-10 the next day. Like, it is just runs galore. And I thought this was hilarious. Then the Guardians Red, which had lost that game 28-5, they faced the Dodgers Guardians, or Dodgers DSL team. They lost 23-0.
That's so, like,
Guardians Red, I'm a little concerned about their pitching.
We will keep an eye on it.
Yeah. So just, you know, Dominican Summer League things.
Our next guy on the countdown, probably not a surprise that he is gracing the list. Mr. Juan Brito, congratulations.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've already kind of discussed him in detail, but really, really impressed with how he's responded to his promotion. Like, he was already having a really great season at Lake County. He has not slowed down one bit. In fact, he's actually improved after getting promoted to Double A, which is ridiculous. That does not happen. It literally does not happen. That's not how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to get better when you face tougher competition.
Maybe the rules don't apply to Juan Brito.
That might be true, because, you know, we talked about this, I think, off before the show, but, you know, Juan Brito was leading all of the hitters in spring training out of all the players in spring training, every MLB player in walks. So, you know, this guy has a fantastic eye at the plate. So good for him. And last but not least, we have a special person to talk about here. He is a familiar face for those of you that follow our corner cupboard. Tell us a little bit about our number 5 player of the week.
It is Daniel Schneeman. Yeah, in the last 2 weeks in Columbus, he slashed 341, 429, 585, which is the best for the Clippers over that stretch. And he has probably been the best hitter on the Clippers all season because, I mean, his season numbers aren't that different. He's slashing 308, 414, 523, playing second base.
WRC plus of 136 on the season at AAA.
Hitting the ball hard. He had 9 singles, 2 doubles, a triple. We love to see it. 2 home runs, scored 10 times, 9 RBIs, 7 walks, only 7 strikeouts, and swiped a couple bags in the last 2 weeks.
He's having a little bit of a breakout campaign here. Now, granted, you know, he's 26 years old, but, you know, there was not a lot expected out of Daniel Schneeman. This guy was a 33-round pick. That round doesn't even exist anymore. But he was a 33rd round pick in 2018. The 1,003rd player overall. They literally thought over 1,000 guys in that draft were better than him. And he's putting up a 136 WRC plus at AAA this year. Like, I think he's actually got a chance to be a utility guy at the major league level at this point. I read that he put on 25 pounds of muscle in the offseason.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
How tall is he?
6 foot.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be paying off. I mean.
Yeah.
Because last year, he got promoted to AAA for 2 games. He spent the whole season, other than that, at AA, where he only had a 62 WRC plus for the whole season, over 112 games. And this year, he's had 40 games at AAA, and the fact that he is just absolutely dominating, I mean, it's good to see. The only other time that he ever had a stretch this good was 2019, right before the pandemic. I think he was at either Lynchburg or Lake County, and he had a 120 WRC plus over the season in 70 games, slashed 287, 366, 374. But what's exciting this year is that extra muscle is paying off. I mean, he's already blasted 5 home runs, which is almost a career high. His previous career high was 6 for a season. So,
yeah, it's exciting. You don't often see a player like him turn it on when they get to the highest level of the minors. And like you said, it's not like this is an insignificant sample size at this point. He's played 40 games. He's got 158 plate appearances. These are already numbers you can start to take seriously.
He's already at his career season high in doubles, too, at 11.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good for him. Because, you know, he was on your cupboard and you had to drop him. You know, you had to move on.
I did.
Although so even if he doesn't make it in Cleveland, I think he's going to make it somewhere. You know, we've got a lot of, you know, utility guys from Cleveland that are still playing at the major league level. Like you look at Sam Haggerty, you look at Mark Mathias, even Andrew Monasterio, if you remember him. He actually just recently made his major league debut and he's been playing really well. And to the point where I was recommended to pick him up in my fantasy league. Yeah. So, you know, just some of those depth, you know, minor league guys at middle infield prospects that, you know, weren't our super prospects are still doing their thing, man.
Yeah, there's a little bit of vindication in that for the entire system, I think, because these are guys that weren't necessarily, I don't want to say they weren't well thought of, but they weren't making noise. And now they're getting very real opportunities in other organizations and proving that, yeah, Cleveland system has just been that deep.
Yep. So huge, super proud of Daniel Schneeman. Like literally, I'm just so happy seeing him have such a great season.
It looks like we've got a bunch of guys who won Player of the Week during the last 2 weeks stretch.
So yeah, I want to give a highlight. Now, the only one that we actually highlighted as Player of the Week was Garcia in the Arizona Complex League, but we had four other players that earned Player of the Week awards over the past 2 week stretch. It started with Ryan Webb. For those of you that remember, he was a guy we drafted, I think in 2021, was recovering from Tommy John surgery. So, you know, but he was a guy that potentially could have been a first or second round pick that dropped due to the injury concerns. And this year he's at Lake County and he earned Pitcher of the Week for the Midwest League, not this past week, but the week before. So had a really nice start that earned him that. And then your boy, Jack Leftwich, who we'll get to here in a minute, he earned Pitcher of the Week in the AA Eastern League. And that was also that same week. So we had a week with two pitchers of the week out of the four full season leagues. Yeah. And Jose Tena, who we also have briefly discussed, another shortstop prospect at AA Akron, was Eastern League Player of the Week that same week. So just rolling in awards. And then most recently, besides Mr. Garcia earning Arizona Complex League Pitcher of the Week, Tommy Mace. For those of you not aware of Tommy Mace, you know, Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee get all the headlines as, you know, our elite, you know, absolutely nailed it draft picks in the 2021 amateur, you know, MLB draft because they're already super prospects or in the majors. But Tommy Mace was our second round pick that year. And, or actually, he was a competitive balance pick. So I think that he was taken 69th overall. So I think it was in the second round. Or so he debuted at Lake County last year and struggled, but he is turning it on this year. And they repeated him at Lake County and he earned Midwest League Pitcher of the Week. Had a monster start. Let me pull this up to earn it. He went 8 innings, ooh, struck out 11, didn't walk anybody, no runs, 2 hits.
That's an I'm ready to get promoted game.
And then he did. Yeah. he literally got promoted to Double A after that start. So good for Tommy Mace.
I'm starting to wonder if 2021 is one of those drafts. There's a lot of guys making noise now.
Yeah, we've had a lot of players moving around because that draft included. So obviously we had Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams as the headliners. But Tommy Mace, Doug Nikhazy, Jack Leftwich, Will Dion. So, you know, that draft is turning, you know, some pretty good prospects and good pitching. And that was the draft, I think, out of the 22 players we drafted, I think 19 were pitchers and like 18 of them were college pitchers.
If it's a strong draft in one particular area, just keep taking
guys,
I guess.
That's what we did. Yeah. And it's paying off. So
now with no further ado, let us open the corner cupboard.
My boy, Joe Lampa, or Lampy, we got to reach out to him and ask how to say his name too. Not so hot. You know, over a 9-game stretch at Lake County, he finally, you know, had some struggles. So slashed a 125, 243, 219, a 42 WRC plus. On the bright side, walked as much as he struck out, 5 each, so 13.5%. But just struggled to make good contact. BABIP was 148, so had a double and a triple. How did your hitter do? Or are you making a change?
I have made a change, perhaps.
Oh, baby.
Perhaps I was too hasty in discarding Mr. Daniel Schneeman. I have put him back in the cupboard. I also noticed Jake Fox is up to like 8th overall on the MLB pipeline. And it doesn't feel like it's right for the corner cupboard at this point. So Daniel Schneeman is back.
So you went from Schneeman to Fox, and now you're back to the Schneeman.
I can't quit him. What can I say?
I'm going to say this. When you initially had him, I just thought you picked him because his name is awesome. Like, I was like, this guy is just minor league depth. Why did Matt pick Daniel Schneeman for his corner cupboard guy? Like, come on, you know, pick somebody that's got a chance. And Daniel Schneeman is completely proving me wrong.
One of the things that jumped out to me was that he had been in the system for a long time. Cleveland doesn't seem to hang on to hitters that long in the system unless they think there's something there. And we didn't see it necessarily when he was in the cupboard. There were a couple weeks here and there. But good Lord, this season. He's just dang.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, if he wasn't 26 years old, he'd be, you know, somebody that they'd be talking about as, you know, an interesting prospect. But hey, Corey Kluber didn't debut till he was 28, and then he won the Cy Young that year, so... So I'm not saying that Daniel Schneeman's going to win MVP or anything, but I absolutely think that he's going to be a major league player, though.
But what if he does?
That would be hilarious. But it would be amazing. I mean, there's so many good players that he'd have to beat out. But still, yeah, no, that'd be great. Now moving on to pitching, I had Parker Messick, who had one really good start and one not so great start, but. Over 2 games started, he went 9 innings pitched, allowed 6 runs, 12 hits, struck out 7, only walked 1, though. So basically, the issue was he got hit around a little bit, gave up 12 hits in those 2 starts. So the whip, not so great, 1.4, but FIP, not bad, 2.79.
It's an interesting line for him. Like you said, I think the most important thing to call out is the one walk against
he didn't hurt himself. So we've already briefly discussed your pitcher, but let's go into further detail.
Leftwich had the one start in which he pitched 6 innings back on June 3rd, ended up throwing 6 shutout innings, 4 strikeouts in that time, only 1 walk. Can't really ask for much more. His next appearance was a piggybacking job, coming in to pitch 3 innings. This one did not go as well, as he allowed 5 hits, 6 runs, 5 earned, 2 home runs, and a walk. Struck out 3 guys, but that's an ERA of 15. So his overall line kind of looks like trash, but minor league baseball's weird. I'm going to put a little more stock in the 6-inning start than the 3-inning relief appearance, essentially.
Gotcha.
So overall, he had 9 innings pitched, strikeouts per 9 of 7, as he struck out exactly 7. And all of the things he allowed came in those 3 innings.
There we go.
What a silly game. A whip of 0.78 still.
All right.
We'll now close the door to the corner cupboard for this week.
Yeah.
And move along to injuries and transactions.
There have been a lot. So we've briefly discussed several of them, but Chase DeLauder being activated and playing at the rookie league. George Valera being rehab assignment in the rookie league. That's all good news. Alexfri Planez, somebody that people kind of forgot about a little bit. He's been injured all season. Big power hitting outfielder. He was activated and is now playing at Double A. We had some big promotions. So Tommy Mace was obviously a huge one as a previous, you know, high draft pick being promoted from high A Lake County to double A Akron. But quietly, Will Dion, who has been one of the better pitchers in Cleveland's minor league system this year, and was my corner cupboard pitcher last year, all of last season, also was promoted from high A Lake County to double A Akron. So another sneaky good pitcher. Other promotions, Cade Smith. For those of you unaware, I think Cade Smith, I got to double check this. I think he's from Canada. He was on Team Canada in the classic, in the world, you know, classic thing. And he debuted this year at double A Akron, where he has had, let me double check this here. I think he had 13 saves. I think the next highest guy with saves in Cleveland's minor league system had 5. So he earned a promotion to AAA. So as a 24-year-old, he went undrafted, by the way. He was drafted back in 2007 by the Twins, but did not sign. Then he went undrafted in the 2020 draft, the lost season, where we only had 5 rounds in that draft. I think we took 6 guys. So he was not drafted that year, but we signed him after the draft. And look at him at AAA knocking on the door as a potential reliever in Cleveland's system.
This will be interesting to keep an eye on, because looking at his numbers as he's ascended through the system, has always struck out a lot of guys, has always walked a lot of guys. But again, if he's closing games, you can afford to give up a walk here and there when you come in with empty bases. Interesting stuff.
So it'll be worth keeping an eye on. He's only made one appearance at AAA so far. Didn't go so great, but long, long way to go. Other things worth noting, Nick Enright, for those of you that were not familiar, he was a good reliever in Cleveland's system. He got taken in the Rule 5 draft this past season, so I assumed he was just gone for good. Then he got diagnosed with cancer. He beat cancer, and then his team drops him. He was returned to Cleveland and has now been back in Columbus. So we got,
congratulations, we on got defeating our
Rule
cancer.
5. Yeah, we got our Rule 5 guy back. Other things of note, Jacob Zibin, for those of you unfamiliar, he signed the biggest bonus of a 10th round pick in history in the 2022 draft last year as a high school pitcher. So we were super high on him, but he did have Tommy John surgery. So there is a reason he has not yet made his pro debut. So we probably will not see him until late next season. So, but still super young, but he is an arm. Like it has been a little bit unfortunate with our pitchers that we drafted in last year's draft. It's pretty much been all the position players that have been making the noise other than Parker Messick, because of all the pitchers we took in our first 10 rounds, Jacob Zibin had Tommy John surgery. Justin Campbell, I think our second round / first round pick, right? The guy we took right after Chase DeLauder might have been in a competitive balance round or something, but he had surgery on his, you know, to repair like some nerve issues with his elbow. Now, it wasn't, you know, ligament surgery, but still, it's going to keep him out until next season. And then Dylan DeLucia, our sixth round pick in that same draft, also just had Tommy John surgery. So we literally have 3 guys that have not yet made their pro debuts that are all missing this entire season because of surgery. So that sucks. But I guess on the bright side, we have had several really exciting hitting prospects from that draft, like Chase DeLauder, Joe Lampe, and then several other, like Nate Furman. So
it's been exciting.
And they're all playing very well. The only other thing I can think of is we had 2 players that we got back in the Will Benson trade, and they had not yet really debuted. And then they finally did. Justin Boyd, he was a second round pick in last year's draft by the Cincinnati Reds. And he was, when they activated him, they sent him straight to high A. So they definitely think highly of him. Hasn't done much yet, but literally has only just played a couple games. And then I am not quite sure I remember exactly the guy's name, but we also got, I think, a guy that was the second round pick by the Reds the previous year. His name's like Steve Hijar or something like that. I just cannot remember exactly his name, but he also was recently activated. And I think they sent him straight to like double A or triple A. So a lot of guys getting healthy, even if several others are not.
I believe that will bring us to the end of the podcast. But as always, I have a selection from baseball poet laureate E.E. Gammings to share, if that would be acceptable.
Please do.
Were Sam Bachman and Shintaro Fujinami separated at birth?